Okay, on top of the page. Okay, what's the Alter Rebbe explaining? That the higher level of tshuva, 391 at the bottom, and 198 on the top. Okay, the Alter Rebbe is talking about the lower level of tshuva. Remember we said there's two levels of tshuva. The lower level of tshuva is for sin. Okay, that you have to rectify what you did. The higher level of tshuva means returning, connecting, binding with Hashem. Okay? Or bonding with Hashem. That is the higher level of tshuva. What is that? He says when a person learns, they connect their mouth to Hashem's mouth. They think Torah, they're connecting their mind to Hashem's mind, and all that. Okay, or you do mitzvahs. When you do a mitzvah, like he says, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvaysav, it's a kiddushin. When you give the ring, you're consecrating the person, you're separating the person from the rest of the world. For you, when a Jew does a mitzvah, they're separating themselves from the rest of the world, and they're connecting themselves to Hashem. Okay?
Okay. Are you also joining the Jewish people by doing that?
Yeah. What's interesting, we are a collective unit. Jews are a collective unit. Remember we learned, just like there's in the person's body, there's a head, hands, stomach, feet, right? Different parts of the body. In the Jewish people, there's two things. Number one, the patriarch, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Moshe Rabbeinu, all those people were the heads. And as generations came down, we're getting lower in the body. Our generation in the Zohar is called Ikvas, or the Gemara calls it really, Ikvas de Mashiach, the heels, right before the coming of Mashiach. Which means now we're the heels of the whole nation, starting from Avraham Avinu, that was the head, and now we're the heel. In every generation, the Alter Rebbe says earlier in Tanya, they're the heads of the Jewish people, and the hands. So we are one body, correct? Therefore, when we do a mitzvah, not only are we elevating ourselves, we're elevating every single Jew in the world. When we sin, we are dragging down every single Jew in the world. And therefore, like the Rebbe said, in Torah, there's no such thing as mind your own business. Because your business is my business. Remember we learned in the past, they give a very interesting analogy of this. A kid was in a boat, and he got bored. So he took out his knife, and he starts making a hole under his seat. So people said to him, what are you doing? Chemical. He said, it's my seat, I can do what I want. Okay. So he said to you, fool, you make a hole under your own seat, we all drown. Right? So you can't say, okay, I can do whatever I want. You want to be religious, be religious. I don't want to be religious. The problem with that is, he's dragging us down. Right? So he says like this. So when we do a mitzvah, like you said, everybody is elevated through this. Not only ourselves.
Wow.
Not only that, by the way, in the Kotel Torah, the Alter Rebbe explains, the angels become elevated. The whole physical universe becomes elevated everybody. Everybody and everything in the world becomes elevated when the Jew does a mitzvah. And the same thing, God forbid, in reverse. And he says like this, let's have five lines at the top of the page, 198. How do you get this meditation of connecting to Hashem? Is Ayadeh's brain in his begadulus in Tov Baruch Hu, by meditating into the greatness of Hashem, ba'amokas hadas, delving the mind, b'shtayim lefaneho, and the two brachas before the Shema, u'psukit de zimra, and in the psukim of, you know, before, between Baruch Shom and Yishtabach, Kaneida as it's known. What is he talking about over here? The whole point of davening is a ladder. You know, it says in Yaakov's dream, there's a ladder on the ground, right? The top touched the sky, and the angels were going up and down. So Rashi asks the question, first angels should be coming down, and then the angels should be going up. Why does it say the angels are going up and down? So Rashi explains the angels of Eretz Yisrael left, and the angels of outside Eretz Yisrael came down to accompany Yaakov Avinu on his journey. In Kabbalah Chassidus, it's a much deeper meaning. What does a ladder do? You have a ladder. A ladder connects the floor with the ceiling, with the top. That is the concept of davening. That's what Yaakov made Mariv, you know, Avraham made Shachris, Yitzchok made Mincha, Yaakov made Arvit, right? What's the concept of, where do we have Yaakov davening? In the dream of the ladder. What's the ladder? The ladder is what connects the Jew down here to God. Now, in the part of davening, davening is actually going up, hitting the top, and then coming it back down. That's why the pasuk says the malachim were going up and down. So simply, what the malachim should first be coming down. But here we're talking about the concept of davening. You're going up and then you're coming down. Now, what does this mean? Now, the Rebbe is explaining over here the concept of learning Torah and davening. When you learn Torah, okay, you learn Torah, whatever Torah you're learning, you are taking God's wisdom and you're bringing it down into your head. You understand Torah, you're understanding God's wisdom, right? So that's bringing God down. Davening is the opposite. Davening is refining the person going up, becoming closer to Hashem. Not bringing God down, first us going up to Hashem. Like we find by Matan Torah, right? Hashem came down in Har Sinai, and Moshe Rabbeinu was told, go up to the mountain. God coming down, and us going up. How do you connect two people, LA, New York? How do you connect them? Either LA goes to New York, New York goes to LA, or, by the way, you can meet in the middle. That's the third pillar. That's the mitzvah. Gemilas Chassadim mitzvahs is midway. Torah is, just think about it. You're taking God's wisdom and bringing it down into your head. Into our head, physical head. We're bringing God down. Davening is like a sacrifice. You take the animal and it becomes consumed in the fire going up of godliness. Let me just say. So now, davening has stages. You know, there's until Baruch Shamar, there's until Yishtabach, then you have the Amida, and then you have the Amida. I mean, until the Amida, then you have the Amida, right? And then you have the last part of davening. Okay? So according to Kabbalah, this is all rungs on the ladder. What is the ultimate level? To come to the Amida, you stand, no moving, complete bittul, complete subservience to Hashem. What do we do before that? Shema. You have to say Shema Lokach, to love God with all your heart, all your soul, with the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara, right? To come to love God. The ultimate goal of a Jew in relationship to God is to become one with God. How do you become one with God? By loving Him. When you love somebody, you become one with the person you love. Like you said, right? That's the definition of love according to Torah. Not when people say, I love it. I love you. I don't love you. I love food. Love is, like we said, Ava equals 13, which is the numerical value of the word Echad. Both equals 13. Ava means you become one. Okay? Now, the goal of Shema is to come to this love. Now, you're talking to your Yetzer Hara, right? And your body. And your animal soul. How do you get it? So you have meditation. What is Psuka de Zimra between Baruch Shem and Yishtabach? Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God, the sun praises God, the moon praises God, everybody's praising God. You know, you think about how great the universe is, think how great the universe is, and the awesomeness of the universe, and this God created one little word, you know, you say, whoa. You know, if you meditate, it does have its effect. Then you come to the second part of, after Baruch Hu. What do you talk about then in davening? These angels say Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish. These angels say Baruch, Kavod Hashem, Emkavo. Everybody's saying different things, right? What are you meditating that? You come, it says in Siddur like this, the source of the animal soul, what's the spiritual soul of the animal soul? The junk, the sediment of the angels. The source of the animal soul in the world up there comes from the junk of the sediment, the junk of the angels. So then you come to the Yetzer Hara and you say to him, you know, where you come from, your own source, which are the angels, they're also screaming, Kaddish, God is holy, and so you pshush it. What does all this do? It's supposed to stimulate through the meditation a love of Hashem. Then you come to Amida, the Shemoneh Esrei. Stand, feet straight, complete bittul, no movement. Like you're one with God. Then, even higher than that, by the way, is Tachnun, Nefilat Tapayim. That's even, fall on your face, right? That's even a higher level. Then, you come back down. So you have Asher Valetzin, the Yain, Enkel Akenu, and Aleinu. So you're bringing godliness. That you reach that level, you bring it down here. That's what davening is. So he says, how do you get this? Through the meditation. Like he says, Bamokas Adas Bishtaim Lefaneha, the two brachas before the Shema to talk about the angels, or Psuke de Zimra, you know, that we speak about the Alulukas before. That is what the person meditating on to become one with Hashem.
What would when we learn Torah, we bring the Chokhmah of Hashem to ourselves.
Right.
But when we pray, we take something from around us, from the ground, and we lift it up.
Correct.
If a man, imagine a man has only 15 minutes in the morning in a day to pray or learn Torah, which one would prefer, to learn the Torah or to pray? Which one is better for his life? No, it's...
Somebody once asked the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, he says, I have an hour a day. Should I learn Gemara or Chassidut?
Or what?
Chassidut.
Chassidut.
So the Rebbe Rashab said to him, you should learn Chassidus. Why? Because if you learn an hour Chassidus, you'll realize you have another hour to learn.
So, if you learn Torah, then you have time.
But you have to daven. We have to daven.
Which one is spiritual? So, which one opens the brain better so that he will put a time for...
There's no such thing as only 15 minutes.
No, let's say half an hour or 1 hour.
Okay, so you have to daven and you learn. You daven and then you learn a little bit.
Okay, another question. Which one makes you closer to Hashem?
Both. If I come to you or you come to me, is there a difference in the closeness?
I think learning Torah would open the heart to Hashem faster because a lot of times...
Not the heart, the mind.
The mind.
I'll tell you why not the heart. Because if you don't have the refinement of davening, of prayer, then learning and knowledge can make you have a big ego. Oh, I'm smart, I know a lot, Torah could be, the Gemara says about Torah, Torah is like poison. Sam is poison. If you merit and learn Torah the right way, it becomes the poison of life.
Torah becomes?
The poison of life. If you don't learn Torah the right way, it's the poison of death. Meaning like this. What is medicine? Medicine is poison. God forbid you overdose. You die. Why? It's not healthy food. It's poison. If it's taken the right way, it saves your life. You take it the wrong way, you could be healthy. You can die anyway. Okay? So the Gemara says, Torah is like poison. You learn it the right way, it will bring you life. You learn it the wrong way, it will kill you. That means it will bring you into evil. Because if a person learns Torah, I'll give you an example. If a person learns about Shabbat and says, I'm not keeping Shabbat, what did that Torah do to him? If he's not learning with the intent of keeping the mitzvah, he's learning because it's a nice, brilliant wisdom, but it's not going to affect my living, then it's not Torah. Then it's a course of university called Talmud.
You mean when the Torah becomes poison like ego, you have an ego that you know a lot of Torah and then...
If it's learned the wrong way, it could be dangerous, yeah. You have to learn it the right way. Okay, so he says like this. Umeyachash tefila b'chinas tshuva ilo, because the Rebbe just explained, davening and learning is the higher level of tshuva, not for sins. Because it's the higher level of tshuva, tzorach lahatim lefanel. You have to introduce before the davening the level of tshuva tato, the lower level of tshuva. What does that mean? This, what the Gemara says, b'mishnah d'mishnah, ein eindem lispalol, ela mitech kevil rosh. One should not start praying only from a state of kevil rosh, means heavy of the head, meaning awe, and like Rashi says, achno, humility. In other words, the Gemara says like this, before you daven, you can only daven with humility. To begin davening, you need to have humility. And therefore it says an interesting law in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch it says, before a person begins to daven, they need to meditate into the greatness of God and the lowness of man. The greatness of God and the lowness of man. That's what you have to do before davening. What does that mean? That's this din, by the way. When you meditate into the greatness of God and how low we are, that's humility. That's humility. Then the davening becomes davening. Then the davening becomes a proper davening. And then you could return to a closer level of relationship with God. You can't be, like the Gemara says, you can't be full of yourself and expect God to come to you. The Gemara says, an empty vessel, you could put something into. A full vessel, you can't put anything into. A person who's full of themselves, there's no room for God. So therefore, before you daven, there has to be humility to understand that really, who am I to daven to God?
What sentences we should use so we do that meditation? Can you tell us a few things?
You have to learn chassidut before davening. That's what it is.
Come to the class Thursday
morning. Okay, that's it. I hope it's after davening. Okay, anyway.
Oh, you have a Thursday morning class for ladies also?
Yeah, 10 to 11.
What, 10 to 11?
From 10 to 11.
Oh, I did.
Thursday morning. Okay.
I know.
So, it says, that's the level of tshuva tato, the lower level of tshuva, meaning realizing how distant we are away from God. The Eder Rachman canal to awaken mercy in ourselves, how low the neshama is in the body. Like it says, we learn it out from the Pasuk by Chana, when Chana was davening for Shmuel, she said, Vihi Maris Nefesh, she was an embittered soul. Meaning like this. And by the way, this doesn't mean that we think we're nothing. That's stupid. What it means is like this. A person has to understand, compared to God, we are all nothing.
We are all
nothing.
Nothing.
Not only that, compared to what I should be, I'm also not where I should be. That is the definition of humility. Humility does not mean I'm a nobody, I'm a nobody, I'm a nothing. That's an idiot.
Oh, compared to Hashem.
Not only compared to Hashem. Humility means compared to what I should be greater. I should be even greater. If somebody else would have my ability, they would even be greater. That is the definition. Not wrong, I'm nothing, nothing, and nothing. It's foolish. If a boss tells a worker, if a boss tells a worker, you have to listen to me because I'm the boss. That's not gava. That's not ego. It's a fact. I'm your boss. You work for me. You have to listen to me. If a teacher, they used to tell a student, you have to listen to me. A parent tells a child, you have to listen to me. That's not ego. That's reality. I'm the parent, I'm the teacher, you're the student, you have to listen to me. That's not ego. You have to listen to me. Why isn't that ego? You have to listen to me. It's not ego. Ego means, I'll give you an example. In the Chumash, we're going to read not this Shabbat, next Shabbat. Moshe was the most humble person that ever lived. Yeah? If somebody asked Moshe Rabbeinu, who did God give the Torah to? What is he going to say? Not me. Then he's a liar. He's going to say me. Yeah? Who is the greatest prophet that ever lived amongst the Jews? Moshe Rabbeinu is going to say me. That's ego. It's not ego. Moshe Rabbeinu knew exactly who he was. He knew his greatness. What was his humility? Moshe Rabbeinu said, if somebody else would be given my abilities, my neshama, my head, they would be much, much greater than me. That's the definition of humility.
That means I didn't do my best yet.
Right.
There's room to grow.
So that's what davening is all about. Davening is all about, and that's why you need to daven before learning. You need to daven because then the person realizes, number one, we're like a little bug compared to Hashem. But even in the world itself, I am humbled by the fact that I'm really not the way I should be. I should be much better.
Wow.
And we learned this many times. Two kids take a test. Yeah, one gets a 95 and one gets a 70. Which grade is better? The answer is,
who did his best?
1 minute. If the 95 should have gotten 100 and he got a 95, he failed. If the guy that could get a 70 got a 70, but that's all he could do, he did 100%. So if you ask a person in the street, what's better, a 95 or a 70? Of course they're going to tell you a 95 is better than a 70. But it's not true. Therefore, what's expected from me is not what's expected from you, or from you, or from you, or from him, or from him. You have to be, they made a song about this. Like the Reb Zusha Anapoli, a student of the Magid, of the Mitzvah Magid, said, when I come up to heaven, they're not going to beat me why I wasn't my Rebbe. How can I be my Rebbe? They're going to beat me why I wasn't me. Why I wasn't what I could be. And that's what davening and learning is all about. That's what it means to daven and to learn, to have this humility in a way that preparation for learning, for davening for that matter. What?
Now, I just want to know, why does Hashem want the prayers of the angels if they don't have
free will?
Is that like we can do it or not do it, and then when we do it, it means something. What does it mean to Hashem when everything in nature does things according exactly the way he wants,
It's worthless. Because they don't have free choice to do it or not to do it.
What does that mean? It's worth it? Like when the angels...
Hashem set the world in a certain way. Does the earth get rewarded when it produces a tree? No. It doesn't. Because reward and punishment is only on free will.
So then why does the angels sing Shira to Hashem?
Because Hashem created them to sing praise to Hashem.
For us to learn.
Because our tefillahs go through the malachim. Some people need the help of the angels. This is what it says in Gemara, that to bring the tefillah to Hashem.
So it's not that we learn from them, so to speak.
We learn from everything. We learn from angels how they are connected to Hashem. But they have no choice to be connected or disconnected because they are created to be connected. We have the free choice to be good or bad.
I missed the first part. Hashem doesn't need the angels to pray for him, or he needs...
He wants them. He doesn't.
He wants them.
Does
to
he
pray.
Need our mitzvahs?
No.
He wants it.
He wants
it. Okay. Once he wants it, he needs it.
Same thing, like you see, say, fish swimming the same way, or this or that.
Do they have free choice to do it?
They don't have free choice, but do we also look for them that they're doing Hashem's will, so to speak?
Yeah. Why did Hashem create them? But again, the reason why they're not great and holy by it, because they don't have the free choice not to do it. Now, I'll give you a simple example. 1 second. Somebody cuts you a piece of cake. Yeah? Do you say thank you to the knife or to the person? Do you say thank you to the knife? No. Somebody gives you a ride in the car. Yeah? Do you say thank you to the car? No, it's not a joke. You say thank you to the car, or do you say thank you to the driver? Why? The car brought you here just like the driver did.
Yeah,
Why don't you say thank you to the car? When the act, a wood chopper chops down a tree, that's the analogy Chassidus uses, and cuts down the tree, yeah? Hayispara Garzan, are you going to say, wow, what a good act? Or are you going to say, wow, the guy did a good job? Why? It's a very simple reason. The car didn't have a choice to bring you or not. The knife didn't have a choice to cut the cake or not. What do you say, thank you to somebody that didn't have a choice? Thank you, light for shining. I mean, it had a choice. The person that turned on the light had the choice to turn on the light, not to turn on, to cut the cake, not to cut the cake, drive the car, not to do. So that's what you're saying thank you for.
So a human being can be higher than, I mean, a human being can be higher than angels?
We're much higher than angels.
Huh?
The neshama is much, much, much greater than angels.
Really?
Not, yeah. No comparison.
I didn't know.
It says in Chassidus that if there's 10 Jews sitting in a room doing nothing, no learning, no, they're just sitting in the room, the holiness of 10 Jews doing nothing in a room is so great that if an angel would come into the room, it would explode.
It's, I think, tell is this true or not, we are, I think a society says, they even have this phrase, such an angel, you know what I mean? Like, it makes it sound as if, like, the angels are the highest thing.
But you know why they're not holy? Because they don't have a choice to do or not to do. They don't have a Yetzer Hara. They don't have an evil inclination. They don't have anything.